think my throat is acting up on me this evening, but we thank God for heavenly love, and I thank you for your patience and indulgence this evening. Certainly, it is a tremendous blessing that God has allowed us that we might reassemble this evening to continue and conclude our worship service this evening. I trust I'll be able to get through this without too much difficulty. All of a sudden, without any warning, out of the clear blue, I'd been sitting in the office doing some studying, but all of a sudden my throat just started acting up. And I know it probably will break your hearts if I have to shorten my lesson this evening. Okay, all right, let's not get too carried away. I want to thank Brother Gerald for directing our singing, and we want to express appreciation for Brother CJ for reading our scripture lesson this evening, and for Brother Clifford Prowell for reading our scripture, leading us in our prayer, rather. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Developing the mind of Christ. Developing the mind of Christ. That should be the goal of each and every child of God. That should be the goal of each and every Christian as we strive to become more like Christ, who left us an example that we should follow in his steps. As we progress from day to day, from week to week, from month to month, from year to year, our growth should be evidenced by our becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, our Lord. That should be our highest aspiration. That should be a smart goal of ours. That should be a main objective, that we become more and more like Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We should be ever looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I am happy when you become more like Christ. I trust that you are happy when I become more like Christ. I trust that my wife is happy when I become more and more like Christ. You see, the more like Christ I am, the better I'm going to treat you and relate to you. The more like Christ I am, the better I'm going to be capable of loving you. The more like Christ I am, I will be more capable and more willing to serve you. The more like Christ I am, I will be more willing and more committed to forgiving you. And even for sacrificing for you. The more like Christ I am, the more I will treat you the way I want to be treated. So I want you to become more like Christ. I want me to become more like Christ. I want the congregation, individually and collectively as a body of the Lord, to become more like Christ. I want all of us to become more like Christ again, because the more like Christ we are, the more we develop the mind of Christ, the more concern we will have for the souls of the lost. Because you can't be like Christ and be insensitive and uncaring for the lost. Because Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. In the passage of Scripture that was read by Brother Davis, we find some definitive keys to becoming more and more like Christ. Look at verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies. This particular verse is indicative of the sensitivity that we should have in emulating Christ. We should demonstrate and evidence a spirit of compassion toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, toward our sick and shut-in, toward the poor and needy, toward the imprisoned and incarcerated, toward those who are left out, toward those who are alone and who are lonely, and those who can be regarded as the least, we need to evidence compassion for them and seek to bring them into Christ, because there is indeed consolation in Christ. There is indeed comfort in recognizing that the Lord loves all of us. There is indeed great benefit in being a part of the august fellowship of God's people. Aren't you glad that you are part of this fellowship, a part of the Lord's family, that there's a spirit of camaraderie between us who are children of God, that we love each other, that we care about each other, that we are willing to help each other, that we are willing to encourage each other. That is characteristic of those who are people of God, that we are sensitive to the needs and to the concerns of each other. So having a spirit that is sensitive to others is a prerequisite to being like Christ. We discover another key in verse number 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, signifying that we are characterized by a joyful spirit of unity and like-mindedness. Jesus, in John 17, prayed with great solemnity. Verses 21 and 22, 20 and 21 rather, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, through their word, that they all might be one as thou, Father, art in me, that they also might be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. If we want to be like Christ, we must evidence an ongoing spirit of unity, of togetherness, of like-mindedness, reminiscent of Paul's words to the Christians at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, or by his authority, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You recognize that nothing can take the place of unity, of togetherness. There's nothing meaningful and worthwhile that cannot be accomplished by us when we work together with each other. There is the story told of a father who said to his sons as he gathered them together, he said, boys, I have something that I want you to try. He had a number of sticks there. He provided one stick to one son. He said, son, see if you can break this stick. And the boy grabbed the stick, and with relative ease, he was able to break the stick. And the father did that with each of his seven sons. And he then took some sticks about the same size as the sticks that they had just broken individually. He had them bound together. And he had about 8 or 9 of those sticks. And he gave the bundle of sticks to the oldest and the strongest son. He said, now, son, I want you to see if you can break these sticks. And the son grasped the sticks in his powerful hands, and he began to try to break the sticks. He struggled, and he pursed his lips, and he tightened his grip, and he was unable to break the bundle of sticks. And so he didn't even bother about giving the bundle of sticks to the other sons to try, because the oldest son was the strongest son. And he concluded that if the oldest son couldn't break this bundle of sticks, then surely the other sons who were younger couldn't break it. He said, now, sons, this is the lesson. If you remain separated from each other, if you remain isolated from each other. You can easily be defeated. You can easily be broken. But boys, if y'all will stick together like those sticks, nobody will be able to defeat you. Nobody will be able to break you. Commensurately, if we will stick together, the forces of evil and the opposition will be unsuccessful in breaking us or in defeating us. If we have that spirit of unity and like-mindedness and the same love, being of one accord, being of one mind, we won't be defeated. But if we ever allow ourselves to be divided by a pernicious spirit of strife and disunity, we can very easily be history. But we want to evidence and exhibit the mind of Christ. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. Christ didn't operate through strife. Christ didn't exhibit a spirit of vain glory. But Christ demonstrated a spirit characterized by lowliness of mind and the capacity to esteem others better than themselves. Now, that's something that is not easy to do unless you possess the mind of Christ. I want you to look at another passage that corroborates and supplements this verse. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Paul, speaking to the Romans, says, let love be without dissimulation. Now, dissimulation simply gives reference to play acting, pretending. Hypocrisy is what it signifies. He said, let your love be authentic. Let your love be real. Let your love be genuine. Years ago, when Abraham was a teenager, and he'd have a girlfriend whose loyalty was somewhat questionable, Abe would admonish her, woman, be real. All of us need to be real. We don't need to play games. We don't need to play act. So Paul says, let love be without pretension, without play acting, without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. We need to despise, to detest, to hate what is evil. The psalmist said, I hate every false way. So we need to abhor that which is evil, but just as strongly and as tenaciously, we need to cleave to that which is good. We need to abhor, eschew evil, but hold to, cleave to tenaciously that which is good. And then verse number 10, I want you to pay particularly close attention to. Be kindly affectioned one to another. With brotherly love, in one another. Isn't it wonderful to be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love? Now, there's something special about brotherly love. Brotherly love transcends, it trumps, it eclipses ordinary love. It is tinctured with tenderness and a special spirit of camaraderie, because we are of the same family. We have been born from the same womb, which is also a tomb. You say, how can that be? We are buried with Christ. We are buried in the likeness of his death, but we are raised to walk in the newness of life. We are born from the watery grave, which is also a watery womb. So in baptism, the tomb comes into play where you bury the old man, but the womb comes into play where you give birth, or the Lord gives birth to the new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So like Jesus said to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, you must be born again. You will be born of the water and of the Spirit. And I'm just emphasizing that we are kinfolk. We are in the same family. We have come from the same spiritual womb.
Man.
And we therefore should strive to be like Christ and to give preference to each other as the children of God. Let me move on. Verse number 4. And we're talking about developing the mind of Christ. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Jesus was more concerned about others than he was concerned about himself.
Amen.
And if you are to evidence and develop the mind of Christ, you have to also be more concerned about others and less concerned about yourself. You don't neglect yourself, but you don't focus only on yourself. You demonstrate a spirit of concern for others like Christ. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So if you want to have the mind of Christ, you must have a healthy and appropriate regard for the welfare of others.
Amen. Amen.
Then he comes to verse number 5. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, verse number 6, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was on the same level as God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Then we go down to verse number 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, even as of the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Jesus, when we read about him, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, we see evidence of his spirit of humility that must also characterize us if we are to be like Christ and evidence his mind, to develop his mind. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2 and verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil. Jesus had to humble himself in order to effect and to bring about God's marvelous plan for the salvation of man. Jesus was found in fashion as a man and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Mm-hmm. We have to evidence an ongoing spirit of humility if we are to develop the mind of Christ. Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. We have to develop and maintain an ongoing spirit of humility if we are to have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Also, we must always display or exhibit a spirit of obedience if we are to have the mind of Christ. The Bible lets us know he humbled himself, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Mm-hmm. Like he was humble, we must be humble. Like he was obedient, we must be obedient. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Verse number 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, mm-hmm, of things in heaven and of things in the earth. It's better to bow now than to be forced to bow then. Your knee is going to bow. You might not choose to voluntarily bow, but bow you must, bow you will. Every knee shall bow.
Amen.
That means skinny knees, fat knees, short knees, long knees, arthritic knees, rheumatoid knees, replacement knees, stiff knees, any kind of knee you can think of.
Amen.
Every knee must bow. But you don't have to wait. You can bow now. You can humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, knowing that he will exalt you in due time. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 6. Let us strive each and every day to become more and more like Jesus.
Nice.
As we engage in the ongoing activity of developing the mind of Christ. If you're here this evening and you are a child of God, but you stand a guilty distance from Him currently, you don't have to